Okay, let's unpack this. We all lean on search engines like all the time. But for those of us really, you know, following the topic closely, the real fascination isn't just that they work. It's how they're constantly changing, evolving under the hood.
Yeah.
So today we're pulling back the curtain on those hidden mechanisms, the things that are really deciding if your website gets seen or not.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving past the basics here.
Indeed. And I think what's often overlooked is just how... fundamental search engines are the bedrock of the internet, really. I mean, think about it. Over 90% of online experiences, they kick off with a search. And Google, we're talking 8.5 billion searches every single day. It's staggering. So yeah, for anyone with a website, any online presence at all, understanding this gateway isn't just academically interesting. It's absolutely crucial for visibility. Get it wrong and you're pretty much invisible.
Right. So our mission for this deep dive then is to break down that complexity. We'll focus on those three core steps: crawling, then indexing, and finally ranking. We're going to dig into how engines like Google decide who shows up where, and more importantly, what are the critical, sometimes subtle, things you could do to make sure your site shows up when it really counts for you. Let's start right at the beginning, the first step in this whole digital dance. Crawling. We hear these terms, right? Bots, spiders, crawlers. But for optimizing a site, what are the less obvious behaviors of these digital explorers we need to know about? Because it sounds like it's not always just about finding a page.
Exactly. Crawling is, at its heart, how search engines discover new stuff or updated pages across the web. It's vast out there. These bots, they start with a list of URLs they already know. Think of it as a seed list. From that list, they just systematically follow every single link they find on those pages. That's how they discover new pages, new connections. And as they visit each page, they meticulously scan the content, text, images, yeah, even the meta tags hidden in the code.
Mm-hmm.
Then all that data gets sent back to the search engine's huge servers for processing. They're like these tireless digital librarians, constantly finding new potential entries for the collection.
Okay, tireless librarians, I like that. But it can't just be a free-for-all, right? Like, they can't just go everywhere. What are the biggest mistakes website owners make that actually stop these bots from even seeing their pages? Because like you said, if a page isn't crawled, it's game over before it even starts. It can't get its foot in the door.
That's spot on. It's definitely not a free-for-all, and several key things can really block crawling or mess up discoverability. First up, internal linking. It sounds basic, but honestly, pages with no internal links pointing to them from other pages on the same site, they often get completely missed. Orphaned content, basically. No clear path for the crawler.
Huh. Just linking within your own site.
Okay.
Yeah.
And second, robots.txt files. Small file, huge power. Website owners use these to explicitly say yes, or more importantly, no to crawlers for certain pages or whole sections, like putting up a do not disturb sign. But if you put it on the wrong door.
Oh, wow. I actually heard a story once about a huge online store accidentally blocking their entire product section with one tiny mistake in their robots.txt for days. Sounds like these little files can cause massive headaches if you're not careful.
Absolutely catastrophic, potentially. Which brings us to number three, crawl budget. Google actually gives each website a sort of daily allowance for crawl requests. It's limited. So if you have a really big site or it's poorly structured, you might waste that budget crawling unimportant stuff. And then your important pages don't get crawled simply because the budget ran out for the day.
The budget ran out.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something to watch. And the last one.
Sitemaps. XML sitemaps. Submitting these through Google Search Console is, well, it's really crucial. Think of it as handing Google a detailed map or table of contents for your entire website. It helps them find all your important pages much faster, much more efficiently than just wandering around following links.
Got it. Map for the librarians. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So that covers discovery. But finding the page isn't the end, right? Once these librarians, these bots have gathered all this info, where does it actually go? How do they organize it all? It can't just float around.
Exactly right. It doesn't just float. All that crawled data enters the search engine's index. You can picture it like this enormous digital library. Billions and billions of web pages stored, meticulously cataloged, organized, ready for retrieval. During this indexing phase, this is where Google really analyzes the page content, not just text, images, videos, everything. It figures out the keywords, the topics, it stores metadata, title tags, descriptions, image alt text, all that good stuff. And crucially, it filters out duplicate content. It tries to ensure only unique, valuable information gets stored and eventually shown.
Okay, so if a page isn't indexed, it just won't show up in search results. At all, no matter how good it is.
Absolutely. Zero visibility. If it's not in the index, it simply cannot appear, period.
Wow. That's a pretty stark reality check. Really underlines how vital this step is. So if indexing is that critical, what are the common ways things go wrong? What makes a site or specific pages disappear from this essential digital library even after they've been crawled?
Oh, plenty can go wrong here. It's often technical hiccups. We often see things like noindex tags accidentally left on pages that should be indexed. That's literally telling Google, keep this out.
Ouch.
Yeah. Or pervasive duplicate content. If you have the same stuff on lots of different URLs, Google gets confused. It might index only one version, or maybe none. Then there's thin or low quality content, pages with just not much useful information. The algorithms might just decide they're not worth keeping in the index, don't add value.
Right, not providing a good experience.
Exactly. And finally, simple server errors. If the server hiccups when Google tries to crawl or process the page, the data might never even make it to the indexing stage. The chain breaks early.
So often small technical details causing big visibility problems.
Very often, yes. Those small oversights can lead to major disasters.
Okay, now for the part everyone really cares about, ranking. The content has been crawled, it's been indexed in that giant library. How does Google decide which pages shoot to the top of the results page, the SRPs, when someone types something in? This feels like the ultimate black box.
Right. This is where the magic seems to happen. But it's really complex algorithms at work, the ranking factors. Honestly, there are hundreds of signals. But we can boil it down to a few key areas for you. First, and maybe most important, relevance. Does the content genuinely accurately answer or match the user's search query? That's paramount.
Makes sense. If it's not relevant, why show it?
Exactly. Second, authority. Does the site have quality backlinks? Links from trusted, reputable websites. These links act like votes of confidence, signaling to Google that your site is credible, maybe even an expert in its field.
Okay, so links still matter a lot.
They do. Third, user experience. Things like how fast your page loads, is it easy to use on a mobile phone, is the site just generally easy to navigate? All critical. A slow, clunky site, it's going to struggle to rank even with great content.
Good point. What else?
Fourth, freshness. Is the content up to date? This is especially important for queries where timeliness matters or topics that change fast. And finally, number five, engagement. This is a bit more subtle, but metrics like click-through rate, so do people actually click your result when they see it? And dwell time, how long do they stay on your page before bouncing back to the search results? These can signal user satisfaction and potentially influence rankings.
Engagement signals.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, let's make this super concrete. Say I'm visiting Austin and I search for best coffee shops in Austin. Walk us through how crawling, indexing, and these ranking factors lead to the results I see, maybe even that map with listings at the top.
Okay, great example. So you search best coffee shops in Austin. First, Google's crawlers have already been out there, finding pages about Austin coffee shops from local blogs, review sites like Yelp, the coffee shop's own website.
Crawling complete.
Right. Second, Google indexes these pages, storing the info about location, hours, maybe mentions of best, keywords like latte, espresso, images, and any structured data that special code saying, this is a coffee shop at this address.
Indexing done. Got the library entry.
Exactly. Finally, ranking. Google's algorithm looks at all those index pages related to your query. It considers factors like, how authoritative are the review sites mentioning these shops? Are there strong local signals like Google business profiles? What are the aggregated user review scores? How recently was the information updated? Does the page load fast on your phone? It weighs all of this up to present what it thinks are the most relevant, helpful options, often putting that map pack right at the top because location is key for that kind of search.
It really clarifies how those stages connect for a real-world search. Thanks. Now, you mentioned algorithms. Google's algorithm isn't static, is it? It's constantly changing. What are some of the really big game-changing updates we've seen over the years that forced everyone to adapt? And what's the main focus now, say, heading into 2025?
Oh, absolutely not static. It's a constantly moving target, always being refined. Historically, we've had some seismic shifts. Remember Panda back in 2011? That really went after low-quality, thin content. Sites had to clean up their act.
Yeah, I remember Panda.
Then Penguin in 2012 cracked down hard on manipulative link-building, buying links, spammy tactics. It pushed for genuine authority signals. Mobile-first indexing around 2018 was huge, too. Google started primarily using the mobile version of content for indexing and ranking. Big wake-up call.
Definitely. Mobile is everything now.
And more recently, the helpful content update starting in 2022. This really doubled down on rewarding content created for people, not just to manipulate search rankings. genuine value, expertise.
So looking ahead to 2025, where's the focus?
The trend continues. Google keeps refining its AI. The big emphasis now and going forward is massively on understanding user intent, what does the searcher really want, and rewarding genuine content quality and a good user experience over any kind of shortcut or keyword sleuthing. It's about the whole journey, not just the keywords.
User intent. Okay, we hear that term constantly now. It sounds simple what the user intends, but I bet it's more complex than just the words they type, right? Can you unpack that? Why is understanding intent so critical for Google and for us in 2025?
You're absolutely right. It's much deeper than just the keywords. User intent is about understanding the underlying goal or the why behind a search query. What does this person truly want to achieve? We generally break it down into three main types. First, informational intent. The user is looking for information and answer, like searching, how do search engines work, or what is crawl budget?
Okay, seeking knowledge.
Second, navigational intent. The user wants to go to a specific website or place online, like typing Austin Code Monkey website, because they know the company and want to get there directly.
Like just using search as a shortcut.
Exactly. And third, transactional intent. The user is looking to do something, usually make a purchase or take a specific action. So searches like buy SEO services in Austin or best CRM software free trial, they're ready to transact or take the next step.
Informational, navigational, transactional.
Okay.
And optimizing effectively today means you have to align your content with the likely intent behind the keywords you're targeting. You need to provide the right kind of information or the right pathway for what that user's actually trying to accomplish. If your page about what is SEO tries to aggressively sell services, it doesn't match the informational intent and it probably won't rank well for that query. Intent mismatch.
That makes perfect sense. Serve the user's goal. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty for a second. For the developers, the SEO specialists listening, what are some of the key technical things they're really focused on these days to make sure sites play nicely with search engines beyond just the content itself?
Sure. The technical foundation is crucial. A few key elements come to mind immediately. First, canonical tags. These are super important for avoiding duplicate content issues. If you have similar content accessible via multiple URLs, maybe with tracking parameters or print versions, the canonical tag tells Google, hey, this is the main preferred version you should index. Clears up confusion. Okay, avoid splitting the value.
Precisely. Second, structured data, often called schema markup. This is extra code you add to your HTML that helps search engines understand the context and specific elements on your page much better. Like telling it, this is a recipe, here are the ingredients, here's the cooking time, or this is an event on this date. It can lead to those rich snippets and search results, star ratings, prices, event dates, which really make your listing stand out.
Ah, the fancy results. Schema does that.
Often, yes. Third, core web vitals. These are specific metrics Google uses to measure the real-world user experience of your page. They focus on loading speed, LCP, interactivity, FID or INP, and visual stability, CLS. Basically, is the page fast, responsive, and not jumpy? Google cares a lot about this.
User experience, again, measured technically.
Exactly. And fourth, can't forget HTTPS security. Using HTTPS has been a confirmed, albeit small, ranking signal since 2014. It's table stakes now. Users expect secure connections and Google rewards it. It's just mandatory for trust.
Right. HTTPS is non-negotiable. Okay, so this whole system is complex. It's evolving. It's got technical layers. There must be some common myths or misconceptions floating around, things people believe about search engines that are just wrong. What do you hear most often?
Oh, absolutely. Myths abound in SEO. A few big ones definitely persist. One is Google indexes everything. Just plain false. So many pages never make it into the index, especially if they're low quality, poorly linked, or blocked somehow. Google is selective.
Good to remember. Not everything gets in the library.
Nope. Another one, ranking hashtag one guarantees traffic. Not necessarily. Ranking first is obviously great, but sometimes though SERCRP features the answer boxes people also ask. Map pack shopping results, they can siphon off clicks. Users might get their answer right there on Google without ever needing to click your link, even if it's number one.
The zero-click search phenomenon.
Exactly. And a third big one, more pages equals more traffic. Also false, or at least dangerously oversimplified. More pages only help if they are high quality, relevant, and well optimized for user intent. Just churning out loads of thin or mediocre pages, that can actually hurt your site's overall authority and performance. Quality over quantity is the rule now.
Quality over quantity. That seems to be a recurring theme. Okay, so we've covered crawling, indexing, ranking, algorithms, intent, technical bits, myths. Let's bring it back to practical actions. For our listeners, what are maybe one or two key takeaways or actions they can implement right now for each stage crawling, indexing, rankings based on everything we've discussed?
Okay, let's break it down. Actionable tips for crawling. First, make sure you submit your XML sitemap via Google Search Console. It's easy and helps Google find everything. Second, regularly check for and fix crawl errors and broken links. Google Search Console reports these. Clean them up so bots don't hit dead ends or waste budget.
Okay, sitemap and fix errors. Got it for crawling.
For indexing, focus on your on-page elements. Use clear descriptive titles and headings, H1s, H2s, that include relevant keywords. This tells Google immediately what the page is about. And critically, ensure your content is substantial and unique. Avoid that thin or duplicate content we talked about.
Clear titles, unique content for indexing.
And for ranking, two big things. One, earn high quality backlinks. Focus on getting links from relevant, authoritative websites in your niche. It still moves the needle significantly. Two, optimize for user experience, especially site speed and mobile friendliness. Use Google's PageSpeed Insights tool to see how you're doing.
Quality backlinks and user experience. For ranking. Got it.
Oh, and one more for ranking. Regularly update and refresh your important older content. Keep it current and accurate. Google often rewards freshness.
Great additions. Keep content fresh. Those are fantastic practical steps. Now, for listeners who want to take their content strategy even further, go beyond the basics. You mentioned demonstrating topical authority earlier. There's a more advanced structure people talk about, the pillar cluster strategy.
Yeah.
What exactly is that, and how does it help signal that deep expertise to Google?
Right. The pillar cluster model. It's a really smart way to organize your content to build powerful topical authority. Think of it structurally. You start with a pillar page. This is a broad, comprehensive piece of content covering a major topic. Like maybe the source article for this discussion, How Search Engines Work, could be a pillar page. It covers the whole subject end to end.
Okay, one big central page.
Exactly. Then supporting that pillar, you create multiple cluster pages. Each cluster page dives deep into a specific subtopic related to the pillar. So for our example, cluster pages might be, what is SEO? Deep dive into crawl budget, on-page SEO checklist, how to do keyword research, see how they relate.
Yeah, specific aspects of the main topic.
And the key is the linking. All those cluster pages link back to the main pillar page, and the pillar page links out to all its relevant cluster pages. This tight internal linking structure creates a clear signal for search engines. It basically says, hey, we don't just have one page on this topic. We have a whole interconnected library. We're an authority. It strengthens the authority of the pillar and the clusters, boosting rankings across the entire topic group. It's incredibly effective for showing deep expertise.
That structure makes a lot of sense. Building a web of knowledge on your site. Very powerful. Well, there you have it. A really deep dive into how search engines actually work, crawling, indexing, and ranking. Understanding these fundamentals, and especially the nuances and strategies we covered, feels like the absolute first step to getting visibility online, moving from, you know, invisible to really being valued.
It really is. And it's crucial knowledge, not just for visibility, but for building trust and authority and just staying competitive, because things change fast. And as Google's AI keeps evolving, keeps focusing more and more on user intent and genuine content quality, well, the whole landscape for visibility keeps shifting. The old ways just don't cut it anymore. It's about real value.
Absolutely. So for you, our listener, maybe a final thought to chew on. With these algorithms getting smarter about user intent and true quality, how does your current strategy stack up? Are you just trying to find loopholes and rank? Or are you genuinely focused on being helpful and valuable to your audience, not just today, but for the long haul? Something to mull over as you continue your own deep dives. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive today.
Austin Code Monkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.